So these prophets that we read from during the season of Advent, they are not ones who predict the future. Malachi, that we read from this morning, is not someone who looked into a crystal ball and through some hocus-pocus magic could see the future. He was a messenger for God, and he was open to the Word of God, and as God spoke to him, he spoke the things that God told him to say, as all the prophets did, and he saw a future that was not evident at the moment, but that would yet play out in time. Somebody forwarded a meme on Facebook recently that was a picture from the 1970s. It was Howard Cosell, and standing on one side of him was Bruce Jenner, on the other side was O.J. Simpson, and he said, "This is Howard Cosell, and I've looked into the future, and you won't believe what's going to go down." We just don't know what's going to happen sometimes, do we? When you look at yourself when you were 20 years old, and now you look at where your life is, we can't make this stuff up, right? We don't know where our lives are going to take us. We don't know what's around the next turn. The old song, you know, I forget the. It's a Gaither song that just came to my mind when I was talking, but not knowing exactly what's going to happen. But I know who holds tomorrow. Forget the exact lyrics. The prophets spoke the word of the Lord. And what they spoke of was what God was doing and what God is doing and what he's going to do. And if you look through this passage from Malachi that we read from, God's the one in control. "I will send my messenger," the Lord says, and he will come. And he will be like a refiner's fire on a launderer's soap. He will set as a refiner and a purifier of silver. And in response, men will bring offerings in righteousness. So God is making something happen. It's going to happen. It will just come in time. There's a movie that's in theaters now, called Beautiful Boy. I don't know if any of you have seen that or not. It's a dramatic film that sort of chronicles the meth addiction and recovery through the eyes of a father, David Sheff, who's played by Steve Carell. And he watches his son Nick, who's struggling with his addiction. And there's at one point in the movie that the father, David, is contemplating the painful and the perplexing circumstance that he finds his son in at the moment, and it just seems like the addiction has taken over his son, and things seem hopeless. And at one point in the movie, he says, "There are moments that I look at him, this kid that I raised, who I thought I knew inside and out, and I wonder who he is." You see, we can make choices in our life that change us to the point that what our life is not recognizable to what our life was meant to be. We're not the same person that we were created to be because of choices that we make. And the people of Israel had made some choices, and they didn't look anything like what God had intended them to be. And God would look at his people and say, "I don't recognize these people who I have raised. I raised them out of captivity and I brought them into freedom, and yet now I don't recognize them because of the choices that they've made." And so God sends a word to his people See, God has not given up on his people. God sends a word to his people and he says, you are not what you were intended to be. And it's going to be difficult to endure this day that's going to come, but this day must come because there must be a cleansing. There must be a time of refinement so that we can shed the things that we've added to ourselves that make us unrecognizable, so that we can have burned from us and melted from us the things that have polluted us and made us less than what God intended for us to be. And Malachi says, the Lord has sent me a word, and the word is, it's time for a bath. Didn't particularly like to hear that when I was a young boy. I don't know if we all, any at a time, like to hear that as a kid. But the Lord says it's time for a bath. You know, societies and cultures can become unrecognizable too. What a society and a culture were can change over time so that they don't look anything like they were. They might still have the same institutions and they might still have the same mottos and the same slogans, and everybody sort of goes through the motions, but it's not the same society or the same culture anymore. And that happened in Israel. And it's happened in our society. You know, David Sheff in Beautiful Boy looks at his son, this beautiful boy, this kid that he raised, and he hardly recognizes him. And I know many of you can look out over our present day society that's declined in virtue and beauty and morality, and you hardly recognize it from what it was. Even at 49 years old, I look at this society and it seems like it's more dumbed down than ever before. It's more decadent, and it's this reality TV, victim mentality, entitlement society. And I think to myself, I hardly recognize it. I can't imagine what somebody in their 70s or 80s thinks of our culture. What happens is we can lose our identity. We can lose our sense of who we are. And if we ever lose our sense of identity, if we ever lose our sense of who we are, then the loss of morality is not far behind that. Because who we are dictates what we will do, and what we will say, and how we will act, and how we will relate to others. If you're brought up and you're raised to believe you are a child of God, you were created in His image, that's going to affect how you live out your life. Versus someone telling you your whole life, you're worthless, you don't matter. We need to continue to remind each other and to remind our children, to remind our grandchildren that they are created in the image of God. And with that blessing comes responsibility. And that responsibility is for us to be a people who pursue virtue and who pursue excellence, who pursue greatness, who are committed to overcoming. And if you look at the messages that are sent in society today, they're just the opposite of that. It's about how quick can you devolve to the lowest common denominator? How quickly can you become average in society? The ones who are the rudest, the ones who are the most outlandish, the ones who are the most morally bankrupt are the ones who seem to be celebrated in a culture. And that happens when we live in a culture where we've lost our identity. Who are you? Well, you're a child of God. But over time, so much junk, so many wrong thoughts, so many polluted images, so many unhealthy relationships, all of those things can build around your identity, and it taints the image. It blocks the image. It blocks the light of who you are. Now, the Lord can see straight through that, and He knows who you are. But we can begin to forget who we are. And we can begin to believe that we are what's on the outside. And if we go down a road far enough, we can believe that we are the person that we've allowed ourselves to become. But that's not who you are. And the Lord hasn't given up on you. But here's what the Lord says. It's time for a bath. When I was a young boy, I had two older brothers, and we would go to my grandma Quarter's house, grandma and grandpa Quarter's in Spencer, and they lived on an old farm, and they had well water, and the well water didn't run too deep, and so she was very conservative with her water, and so we would stay over there sometimes, and we'd play all day with my cousins, you know, out in the woods and on the farm, and get pretty dirty and pretty smelly and pretty caked in mud and dust and you name it. And then it was time for a bath in the evening, and she would fill up the bathtub one time. I was the youngest. I didn't see clean bathwater at Grandma's house. In fact, I don't remember clean bathwater at Grandma's house. But she would come in there and she would make sure that you were clean. Like, Grandma, I'm taking a bath. You better get clean. Did you see this water, Grandma? How am I supposed to get clean? No, I didn't say that because I'd whipped upside the head if I'd said that. The Lord says, who can endure the day of His coming? See, it's not pretty. We can spend a life building up this crust of ugliness around this image, this creation that God made, and it can look pretty ugly to us and look ugly to the world. And man, when it's time to bring it off, when it's time to take it off, the Lord says, who can endure that? He doesn't say no one can. He just asks, who can endure that? Who can stand? Because the Lord says it will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. Pretty strong and stringent soap. Pretty hot and melting fire to get rid of that crust that we've put around, that we've allowed to build around who we really are. And He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. We need that. Our society needs that. But who can endure that? Can you? But the Lord says that's what it's going to take. It's not a jump in the shower and rinse off thing. The Lord's going to set us down and He's going to start scrubbing. And who can endure that? In our passage, the Lord says, I will send my messenger. In Hebrew, messenger, the word is Malachi, which is Malachi. So Malachi means messenger. He says a messenger is to come, and many believe that it would be the return of Elijah, who was a great Hebrew prophet. But as time passed and John the Baptist came along, people began to say, oh, they were talking about John the Baptist. And there's this imagery of a straight path or an improved road that would be made complete, that would be smoothed over for the king to come. You see, in those days, the roads were pretty marginal, kind of like southern Indiana. And when a king was getting ready to come into the area, the king's men would go ahead of him and they would smooth out the road and fill in the potholes, because the king is the king, right? The king gets a smooth road. And so Malachi likewise says, the Lord is sending a messenger to prepare his way, because there's a king who's coming. However, the preparation for the Lord's coming is not a physical one, but it's a spiritual one. There are things in our lives that need to be smoothed over and that need to be filled in, that need to be cleared out. If we're to receive the King and all that he has to offer, the prophets tell us during Advent that we must be prepared. If God is going to pour his divine power and glory into our lives and empower us and enliven us and transform us into someone who overcomes, into the person that he created us to be, into a person who has victory, then there are certain things that have to happen in our lives. The early Greek Christians called this askesis. In English, it would be askesis. We get our word asceticism from that. An ascetic is someone who engages in very disciplined behavior in order to get ready to receive something spiritual. A monk might come to mind who would do something like that. But the early Christians said, if we're going to receive the Lord, then we've got to become disciplined. St. Paul used the image of a boxer, a self-disciplined boxer. He said, I harden my body with blows and bring it under complete control to keep myself from being disqualified after calling others to the contest. Paul realized that in order for God to be fully received in our lives. You see, God's always pouring his love to us. His grace and his mercy are unending. It's showering on you and me right now. But we can build these umbrellas of steel. We can encrust ourselves with denial and rejection of God and of distractions and of chasing things of the world. And as we build those things around us, we can find ourselves not prepared to receive God, not prepared to receive his blessings. But Paul says, man, I practice every day like a boxer who's getting ready to go into the ring, because I know I've got to be prepared. And if I prepare myself, I know that I will overcome in the contest. And that spiritual training, that asceticism, is a denial of our ego. It's a denial of our self and what we desire for our life, what we desire in the moment. What we pursue all of these things that are not of God. And they don't prepare us for the fight. They don't prepare us to overcome. They don't prepare us to receive God in all of his glory. Instead of becoming a boxer like St. Paul, rather than being trained in the message of the church, we, too many of us today, have been trained in the personal teachings of society. We've been indoctrinated into this individualism and this consumerism of society. I bet you more people in, if you were to go on the street today, more people could probably tell you the slogan for Burger King than they could tell you the golden rule. Have it your way. Just do it, Nike says. Sprite says, obey your thirst. Philips says, express yourself every day. You see, the problem is that rather than having been trained by the church and by godly people to pursue a life committed to virtue and excellence and to know how to overcome in the world, we've been trained to pursue our own desires. And so we need to be refined. Not punished, mind you. That the prophets don't talk about a punishment for punishment's sake. It's always about leading to our refinement. Who can overcome it? Yes, it's going to be tough, but on the other side, there's a renewal in our life. There's a new beginning. So we have to always be in spiritual practice. We always have to be like the boxer who's practicing self-discipline. They say in the physical fitness world, if you don't use it, you lose it. Do you know that after age 35, you lose 3-5% of your muscle mass each year just by doing nothing, just by waking up in the morning? I don't know what percent of your spiritual muscle mass that you lose each year by not praying or participating in worship or committing to discipleship, but you will lose it. You will lose your spiritual muscle mass. You will lose the ability to overcome. You will lose the ability to have victory. You will lose the ability to be content in all things, as Paul said he was. You have to practice that every day. You have to invite the God of salvation to come in your life every day and give me victory, give me power, give me strength. And then you have to do the things to make way for that. And the result, Malachi says, is righteousness. He says the people will again bring offerings of righteousness to the Lord. That word righteousness in Hebrew means blameless or innocence, being just, the opposite of wicked. It means being on the right side. It means being on the side of God, the side of justice, the side of what's moral and ethical. The good news about losing muscle mass is that if you lift heavy stuff and eat the right foods, you can regain it. And the same is true with our spiritual muscle mass. If we engage in spiritual disciplines, if we pray, if we read God's word, if we join in worship, if we engage in spiritual connection, fellowship with one another, if we do those things and we get on our knees and we pray, Lord, come into my life and lead my life and guide me and let your wisdom be my strength, if that's where our mind and our heart are, then the Lord will come and righteousness will return. I don't know what tomorrow holds for myself. You don't either, do you? But I know the promise of God tells me whatever comes today and whatever comes tomorrow and whatever comes tomorrow, that I can overcome it. if I am refined, if I've been bathed in the Holy Spirit, we need a people who have taken a bath in the Holy Spirit. We need a people who have died to the flesh, to the ego, and who have given themselves to Christ and taken on the mind of Christ, who have committed themselves to virtue and excellence in what they say and what they do and what they view and what they think. Because there's a world of entropy out there that if you don't do those things, it's going to go the other direction. Just by waking up in the morning, society is going to collapse. Just by waking up in the morning, our spiritual life is going to begin to dissipate unless we commit ourselves to virtue and we commit ourselves to excellence and we commit ourselves to doing the right thing. We commit ourselves to being a people of God. And that means we first must be refined. So in this Advent season, as we wait for the coming of Christ, we wait with a purpose. We wait with an agenda. We wait with a plan. We wait with a discipline. And when we do that, the righteousness of the Lord will come upon His people. And the righteousness of the Lord will come upon the community. And the kingdom of God, the Lord says, will grow into a tree, and it will spread its branches, and it will create shade, and the birds of the air will light upon its branches. And isn't that a beautiful image of what our life can be? Let's pray together. Lord, in these days before Christmas, as we hear the words of the prophets, we're often reminded that we walk in a bleak midwinter. Snow on snow. And sometimes it's hard to see beyond our circumstance. It's hard to see beyond the current ugliness and crudeness and evil of society. But Father, rather than making allowing our hearts to become cynical, and rather than becoming just merely critical or seeking to escape, teach us to do what your Son Jesus did. He went to a desolate place and He prayed. He walked in the Spirit, and then He engaged a world that so much needed to hear the good news of the coming of the Lord. May the coming of the Lord be upon our lips, in our deeds, and in our minds, today and always. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.